Priscilla's playing hurt today. For those who don't know who Priscilla is, she's the young lady up here signing for me today, as a lot of her family has traveled a great distance to be here with us, and we welcome all of you. The reason why I say she's playing hurt, for those who are not aware of it, Priscilla is a warrior, and she had a severe bike wreck a few weeks ago, broke her left collarbone, had it surgically repaired, and she's back in action. As I often say about my own wife, you can't keep a good woman down. That's how you get points, boys. That's how you get some points. Priscilla and I, when we had a congregation in Midtown a few years ago, and we used to do this every Sunday. And sometimes I know that she was thinking in the back of her mind, I wish she'd slow down and not talk so fast or talk more plainly. So I'm going to try to do my best for you today, Priscilla. I do welcome all of you. I know that some of you have traveled from a long ways to be here. You didn't know I was preaching, apparently. I'm giving you a shot. I'm giving you a chance. Doing what I can. But I am glad to see you. I'm going to pray for us, but I have a real challenge for you this morning. I know in this group, there's followers of Christ. I know there in this group that there's people that claim to be followers of Christ. I know there's people in this group that would like to be followers of Christ. And I know there's in this group, there's people right now, you would acknowledge you don't follow Christ. It's interesting to me that my Lord and Savior would use words like, come and follow me. Come and see. Come hang out with me. Come be with me. And if I am who I say I am, if I do what I say I would do, and if I fulfill the prophecies about me from the Old Testament, then I'm inviting you to a life everlasting. A life that's challenging at times, isn't it? A life sometimes that's full of uncertainty, isn't it? Life that's full of good news and bad news, terms used by us, not by God. A life full of questions. A life that can sometimes have fear and doubts. And this morning, as we're going to look at just one very small part of the resurrection story, because He is risen. And that will be true tomorrow morning. That will be true regardless of what happens in this world. Some of you may not know, but our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka were attacked during the night. Churches were bombed. Some hotels were bombed. But you know what? That's the history of people trying to quell and quench and destroy the good news. And it marches forward. And this morning, we're going to continue to look at the good news, experience the good news, experience the risen Christ, because we are commanded to march forward. The church is a living body that moves out into a dark world. Much like 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified, most of the world was just going to day-to-day life. There were couples fighting, there were children being born, there were men and women going to work, doing their routine of life. And most of the world we live in right now is just living their routine. Living life. Trying to find something, trying to seek something that fills a God-sized hole in them. So I'm getting ready to pray for us, and here's my prayer for you this morning. The prayer for me is this. Will we come with an integrity of honesty before God to meet Him as He is desirous to meet us this morning? To not put parameters, not put limitations, not to try to set the if-then. God, if you do, or if you will speak, or if you will show, then I will do this. How about respond to Him as He is tugging on your heart and your mind? As He is renewing us, church, as He is getting ready to move in the earth like I believe He's never gonna, has moved in a long time. Because He is winning. He is alive and He is doing well. We've come to towards the middle part of a resurrection day where our brothers and sisters across the world have already been celebrating this. And so we're just continuing it. As our brothers and sisters on the other part of the world will continue it later this day. So I ask of you to have an honesty to yourself as we look at a very brief portion of the resurrection story. So let's pray. Father, as we begin to look at Your Word, it is powerful. It does not change. It is life-giving. It is life-altering. Father, You are so merciful and so gracious to us. It's amazing. And God, we do thank You for that reckless love. God, we do raise a hallelujah. God, I pray that we would do that regardless of circumstances. We love You and you are ready to love on us today, let's do it in integrity. Let's do it through honesty. In Jesus' name, amen. It is an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. And I am glad you have decided to gather with us this morning. We will be going through this in a few moments. You know, I look at life in moments, and here's what I mean by that. My life is always just like yours. There's an ebb and flow to it. There's seasons. There's changes. There's different things that come at me that I don't know are coming. There's some things I plan for, but it's comprised of a moment with a bunch of moments. And within those moments, I get to choose whether or not I want to engage and embrace what God is doing in my life. I get to choose whether or not I want to embrace and engage what God is doing through others' lives in my life and what He's doing in others' lives through my life. I get to choose that. And I choose this moment this morning to be fully engaged in what God's doing as we look at part of the resurrection story found in the book of Matthew, verses 28, 1 through 10. I will read it to you. You will see it up on the screens. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Another angel getting ready to announce good news once again. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, the holiness of God on display. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The story of this interaction of Jesus with these two Marys. As we look at this story, the one phrase I'm going to kind of camp on a little bit today is simply this. Is an angel, then Jesus looked at them and said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For God is up to something greater than you can realize. God is up to something great in your life. God's up to something great in my life. And we don't want to be afraid. We don't want to be engaging God with resistance or with reluctance. We want to engage fully what God's doing in our life." My mom is in the back this morning, so it's a good time to tell the story on my mother. A long time ago in a far, far away place called Kentucky, which is good to have Ken and Susie here this morning from the Promised Land and family. You know, in Kentucky, it's a local call when you talk to God because you're in the Promised Land, you're so close to Him, okay? So a long time ago in a far, far away place, when I was a child, we grew up, our house set way out in the country, and it was surrounded by trees and fields. And when you grow up in Kentucky, you can count on this string of events. One, there'll be a lot of bugs. Two, there'll be a lot of frogs. And three, there'll be a lot of snakes. And four, there'll be a lot of mice. Okay? So we had mice in our house pretty regularly. My dad set out traps. We caught a lot. We had cats on the outside. They killed a lot. But let me tell you something. Mice are prolific recreators or procreators, really. So we had mice regularly in our house. And one morning in the wintertime, winter's key, days are short, it's dark. I get up to go to school, and it's probably around 6 o'clock because I had to catch the bus back then. I get up, and I go towards the living room. And when I'm walking from my bedroom to the living room, I come around the corner, and there stands my mom in her full battle regalia, which would be house coat, rain boots, and a broom. What was she getting ready to battle? A mouse. I said, "Mom, what's going on?" She's standing guard duty like Bigfoot was getting ready to come through the front door. There was a closet by our front door that a mouse had poked his head out from. And my mom had been standing there for a while, ready to kill that mouse. A mouse. A mouse. She had a broom and her rain boots on just in case it ran across her feet. She had been standing there for a while. And so Basically, she proceeded to just continue to stand there just in case this mouse came out to conquer the land. We didn't see that mouse again for a while. And finally, my mom had to go to work and I had to go to school. But the thing that stands out for me from that story, other than the ridiculousness of looking like she was getting ready to be attacked by a grizzly bear, that how powerful fear really is. How powerful fear is of the unknown. How powerful and paralyzing fear can be when we don't recognize the truth. When we're reluctant to embrace the truth. I'm not joking, and most of you in this room know my mom, okay? Adult woman acting like that mouse was a lion getting ready to come out of that closet. And by the way, that wasn't the only time it happened. That's just the one time, I'll tell you. After the service, you can talk to her more about her battles with mice, okay? Do not be afraid of the resurrection of Christ. Do not be afraid of what He is up to. And as we look at a few points together this morning, we begin with, do not be afraid. Jesus conquered death and sin. He will conquer your fears and doubts. Remember, I started out asking you, are you going to have integrity of honesty before God today? Are you going to have an integrity of spiritual honesty of saying, yes, this is where I am with You. Yes, God, this is where my struggle is. Yes, God, I know a lot of things about You, but I have not yet experienced You fully as You desire to fully experience me and for me to experience You. You see, Jesus' resurrection proved that His death was an actual payment for sin and that the Father had accepted it as such. See, the cross was the payment, the resurrection was the receipt, and proving that payment was fully accepted by God Himself today. Do not be afraid that Jesus is alive and that He conquered death and sin and that He can conquer your fears and doubts. Where are you this morning with wrestling with God in your life? You see, I don't think that we get to avoid that. I think we're just good at denying it. You see, God is a God, as the song says, who's pursuing us in love. This is a supreme act of love. So of course it's going to cause some tension. Because you might be a follower of Christ today, but you're struggling with forgiveness of somebody else in your life. Back in the 9:30 this morning, my group, we read the chronological order of the Holy Week. And what that means is the four Gospels, they do not have it in chronological order, so you got to mesh the four together to get the whole week put together as things really happen. And I pointed out to them the one of the themes that I see, and I'd encourage you to try to do that. You can go online and find how to do that. Is to see that Jesus, when most people would be full of anxiety and fear and worry and saying, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to take care of myself, I can't deal with you guys right now, He did the one thing that was so against our very nature, and that is He surrounded Himself with people that loved Him and that He loved. So how this morning is God going to conquer your fears and your doubts? That He conquered death and sin, past, present, and future. He's inviting us this morning, come and follow, come and see, come and check me out. There's more of me to experience than you can ever imagine. There's more of me to understand than you can ever imagine. There's more doing in you than you can imagine, so He can do through you more than you can imagine He can do through you. Remember what I told you earlier? The world this morning, they're going through the routine. They're going through the routine. Don't you go through the routine. Embrace the freshness of God. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are fresh for you this morning. They're fresh for me. I need some new mercies. I need some new mercies. I don't know about you, but it's not like every day has been perfect. It's not like every moment has been perfect. Sometimes I feel like that what I've done is I'm not battling a mouse in the closet. I'm battling something that I can't see, can't smell, can't taste, can't touch, can't feel. And that sometimes becomes very difficult for us. Will you embrace this morning that Jesus conquered death and sin and He'll conquer your fears and doubts? Have you ever thought about just laying them out before God? I mean, seriously, He will honor your honesty before Him. I actually heard a lady about 7-8 years ago tell this story. As an adult woman, she's telling this story. When she was a teenager in early 20s, she was sold into sex slavery in Europe. And she spent years being abused. Finally, God got her out of that, and she married a man. Knowing her whole history, this man still married her. And one day, They live in South Africa. One day they went to church in South Africa, and she came home and she said this, and I encourage you to think about this for your own life. She said, "God, if you are who that preacher says you are, then will you show up in my life?" And that woman said, "He absolutely showed up and began to take over and heal the wounds and the hurts and help her forgive the men that numbered in hundreds that have abused her." And her testimony is powerful. Because you know one thing about her, when she was telling that story, there was no falseness in it. There was nothing about her that was the center of the focus. She was pointing to the one true living God. God reconciles. God redeems. God's mercies are new every morning, and they're new today for us, church. He will conquer your death, or death and sin. He'll conquer your fears and your doubts. The next one, do not be afraid. Jesus' resurrection happened in a moment, but impacts eternity. It was like that. It was like that. One of the things I love in that verse is, or those verses that we read, is when the angel invites the ladies, the two Marys, come on in and look. Come on in and see where he was. Because where he was is in the past. And you're going to join him where he's going, because he's an is kind of God. He's a right on time God. He's an is in the moment kind of God. And you're going to get to join him. Mary, are you willing to join him today? Jesus' resurrection happened in a moment, but it impacts eternity. And I know what I'm getting ready to say is sometimes difficult to grasp, because I struggle with it sometimes. You ready for this? God sees our lives through eternity perspective. So sometimes when we get that bad news, good news contrast going in our lives, it's sometimes hard to step back and say, wait a second. I will trust in the loving, kindness, merciful nature of God, because he's seen it from eternity. Of course, not everything's going to make sense. If you're here today and you're waiting for everything to make sense, let me tell you something. He will have returned and gone back without you. Okay? He will have come, shown up, and looked in the book of life and said, don't see your name. That's just the truth. If you're waiting for everything to make sense, then do understand today that God, who died for you, is waiting for you to simply trust him. Believe in who he says he is. Jesus' resurrection happened in a moment, but it impacted eternity. Eternity is beyond our comprehension. I can't comprehend living through eternity. I can't do that. I'm not sure anyone can in our humanness, because God sees it from eternity. He is moving and working and doing things in my life and others' lives that are only for eternity purposes. That doesn't mean that I have to understand everything. It just means I do live in faith. I live in faith. I don't live in faith when something happens I don't like or something I don't understand. I'm living in faith, trusting God that we're in a personal relationship. We're tight. It's real to me. You know, it's one of the things is so I get this question a lot, is how do you talk to people about Jesus? What do you tell them? I tell them about somebody I know. I tell people about Jesus just like I tell them about my family, about you. If they didn't know him or who I was talking about, I would want them to walk away and say, man, he must hang out with that guy a lot. Because that's an eternal perspective. Because you know something? Whether or not you embrace this as a fact or not, we're going to hang out for eternity somewhere. Somewhere we're going to hang out for eternity. It's either heaven or it's hell. It's either heaven or it's hell. But I know this resurrection impacts the now. I'm not waiting for eternity to experience all that God has for me. I want to experience the fullness of right now. The right now. Another one, do not be afraid. Jesus' purposes, reconciling relationships. God's bringing things together. The death, burial, and resurrection. This sin, taking away our sin. It's so we can stand in His righteousness to be in the presence of the Father right now. And then into eternity, be in heaven with Him as He sits at the right hand of the Father. It's right now. Reconcile relationships. And how about all those relationships in your lives that need reconciliation today? Who are you holding out on? Who are you holding out on? You know, Tyler sent me a great testimony the other day of, I think it was the fourth generation of the Coors, Adolf Coors the fourth. Coors beer, but he's a believer, and he tells a great story. His father was murdered, and about 20 or 30 years went by, and they caught the murderer, and he was in prison. the murderer was. And I found this very interesting. Are you ready? Adolf Coors IV showed up at prison to not forgive the man, but to ask the man for his forgiveness for all the bitterness and anger and malice and hatred that he had held for all those years against him for killing his father. Let me tell you something. That's not being afraid to live. That's not being afraid to experience the presence of God. That's not being afraid of saying, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to walk in what I do know so I can experience more of what I don't know. That's showing up with an honesty of saying, there's more than I can possibly imagine that God has for me, and it's the intimacy in a relationship. It's not walking in fear, it's walking in faith. And sometimes the greatest faith some of us have to exhibit is writing a check to pay a bill that there's no money yet for. Amen? Huh? Some of us is calling back that doctor or that nurse from a doctor's office to get the results of that test. That takes as much faith as we can possibly mount at times, right? It's sometimes somebody looking at me and saying, or somebody looking at you and saying, let me tell you something, God's still on the throne and He's still alive and it is going to work out for His glory and honor. And you're like, yeah, but what about my peace and comfort? It takes real faith to trust in the truth when the truth doesn't seem obvious. It takes real faith to say Jesus' purpose was reconciling Himself, us to the Father, and us to one another. You see, that cross has vertical and horizontal relationship written all over it. It begins with the vertical, so it impacts the horizontal. And I want you to know something. I just believe this in a group of people this size. Some of you are not experiencing the fullness of God because of the horizontal relationships. You decided it is easier to hold out than to hold on to God. You decided it was easier to say they deserve what they're getting instead of extending the mercy that was extended to you. He has been merciful to me. He has been merciful to me. Beyond words. Beyond words. Every moment that I sometimes have thought, so-and-so doesn't, I get a little, what makes you think you? And I think, yes, I miss out when I'm holding out. And I don't want to hold out because He's not going to hold out. Reconciling relationships, where are you with that today? Where do you need to extend forgiveness to be forgiven? Where do you need to cry out for God's mercy? And the last one, He is alive. He is alive. I am so guilty of this next statement that I just confess it before you, but I'm praying God works in my life, okay? It amazes me how much of my resources I spend on the temporal while doubting the eternal. And I believe that's a lot of times where we are, church. We spend a lot of time and talent and our resources on the temporal, and yet we doubt the eternal. And God says, if you invest in what's eternal, it will come plain as it can ever be. Because as we invest in those things that outlast us, God reveals things about Himself and about His workings. You know, how often do we pray, God, do something? And God's tapping on our heart and saying, well, won't you join me in doing something? I've got big plans together. I've got good plans together. And those happen because He is alive. You know, today in Jerusalem, if you were really in Jerusalem today, which by the way, I would not recommend going to Jerusalem on Easter Sunday. It swells to, it's beyond St. Patrick's Day in Savannah. Okay? It really is. It's that packed, which if you like crowds, go for it. But truth is around the city of Jerusalem, do you know there's a lot of tombs? There's the tomb of David, the tomb of Rebecca. You can look this next one up because some of you may not know who this is. There's the tomb of Absalom, one of the sons of David. There's all kinds of tombs. Do you know there's hundreds of tombs of people that were important to Jewish history? But do you know there's one tomb that does not exist? That's right, Jesus. His tomb does not exist. There's no marker that says this is the death place, this is the burial spot of Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary. Over 500 people plus witnessed His resurrection, it says in the New Testament. He withstood six trials. Mock trials, basically, fake trials, people looking to kill Him because He is who He says He is. They weren't trying to kill Him because He was a threat through lies. He was a threat through the truth. He was impacting their lives through the truth, and they just couldn't stand it. And today, the integrity of the Gospels, I started out this short talk about, are you willing to have integrity as you honestly seek God, as God seeks you, as God moves and God is speaking? You know, when you start to investigate the claims of the Gospels, you have to do it through an integrity that most of us struggle with at times, and that is this: it requires work and honesty and being authentic in your search. A lot of people have already done the work, so you can read books and investigate it. And I know that some of you probably struggle with parts of it. Embrace the wholeness of the Gospel, that He died, He was buried, and He resurrected. It says in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that we are in great need of a Savior, because our hearts are built and long for a permanent relationship with God the Father. Let me say it to you again. We are made in the image of God. And as part of being in the image of God, that means we are made to be in a lasting relationship with Him. In fact, I will never, ever be what God has intended me to be on this earth unless I am pursuing Him, for Him to work in my life to be all I'm supposed to be on this side of heaven. So I'm shortchanging you. I'm shortchanging my family. I'm not living in the fullness of God that He intended me for. His hand of mercy is on us. His hand of grace is upon us. This morning, where are you with Him? Where is the tension in your life with this? Where have you been avoiding the truth or reality of the relationship part of this that Jesus is offering you this morning? In this story, we see two ladies show up, two Marys. And they came to do something because they had a servant's heart. They'd given a lot, by the way, to this relationship with Jesus. And Jesus had done a lot for them. Which, by the way, one of the craziness about the story is if it was fabricated, if it was made up, nobody in their right mind 2,000 years ago would have had women show up first. Because right there, the authenticity of the story would have been questioned. You would have had men show up first, not women. So you see these two ladies show up, and they meet the angel, and he says, "Do not be afraid. I know who you're looking for. He is no longer here. He has risen. And because He has risen, you can have life. You can have life." And then the second time when they encounter Jesus, when He uses greetings, it's a personal way of saying, it isn't saying, "Hey man, how's it going?" He ain't saying that. He's saying, "It is good to see the people I love." And when they fall and they bow and they worship by grabbing His feet, when He says, "Do not be afraid," the context is this: do not be afraid that I'm going to leave you, because now you can be with me forever, because I am risen. So the context is, do not be afraid. I am who I say I am, and I did what I said I was going to do, and I'm not finished. I am not finished. I am reconciling the world to myself. So I give you one question in a scripture. In Luke 24:5, it's actually part of the same exact story I read to you out of Matthew, but Luke, his testimonial account, has this in it. "In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead?'" Are you looking for life among the dead? Is there a deadness in your heart this morning? Like I told you, I gave you some categories to start us out with this morning. Maybe you consider yourself a follower of Christ, but honestly, there's a deadness to it. You just need a new fresh breath of life in your life today. Maybe you've only considered the claims of Christ and you think, "Well, maybe I'm a Christian, maybe I'm not." We can settle this for once and for all today. We'll talk about that in just a little bit more in a moment. Or maybe you have applied yourself to looking for the living amongst the dead, but you've decided that I'm just going to apply my life to the dead things, the temporal things, the things that don't last, the things that don't matter. And you just simply need to encounter the living Christ today, the living God today. I would encourage you to ask yourself a question: are you looking for life among the dead? Does my life have any living to it? And what's the offer today? What's the offer? New life, eternal life. New life and eternal life. Our world doesn't need people who play the part. They need people who live the part. The people that will live the part. The people that will acknowledge when they've messed it up. The people that will talk about the grace and the mercy of God. The people that will love unconditionally. The people that will pursue. The people that will care. The people that will run for others as the ladies ran to see Jesus. Do not be afraid of what He is offering you today. If you're looking for a reason to not experience the resurrection of Jesus today, then you will find it. You will find it. If that's what you're going to put your energy into, if that's what you're going to put your mindset into, if that's what you're going to put your time into, you will find a reason. But if you were honest and you put those reasons on a piece of paper and you listed them one after the other, and you put them and you say, God, here's my struggle with experiencing You fully as I desire, or as I believe You desire to be fully experienced. Watch what happens in your life. Watch what happens in your life. If you're struggling today with relationships, if you're struggling today with any of these truths about God or how He loves you, let's begin to respond to God today. What is He doing? You are here and you are physically alive, but are you spiritually alive? Are you spiritually alive today? Greetings. Do not be afraid. Jesus was about reconciliation. I told you already, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what are we going to do about it? Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you something about that verse. We live in a society that is about an inch deep and a mile wide with relationships. Let me tell you something. This is going to hurt some of your feelings, but I'm going to speak truth to you no matter anyway today, okay? Some of you may have a lot of friends on some version of social media, but the reality is most of you just have acquaintances. Most of us will live a lifetime with very few friends and a lot of acquaintances. One of the last things that Jesus told His disciples, and it's huge, it's huge, so get it. You ready? He says this to His disciples, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. You know what He meant by that? We now know each other well and very well. And we're going to spend forever together. We know each other so well, we're going to spend forever together. So what can you do today? Call upon the name of the Lord. Not in a standoffish way. Say, God, I just want to make this personal. God, all I'm going to offer to You is all that I know to offer You. And I'm just going to trust that You're going to take that and You're going to begin a relationship in my life and heart, that I'm going to begin to follow You. I'm going to begin to check You out. I'm going to begin to experience You from where I am, because knowing that You're going to meet me there and You're going to take me to a depth I've never known. When He talks about calling on the name of the Lord, it is literally like a crying out to that says, I need something more than myself in this life. And this morning, I know that some of you have done that, but there's a deadness in your heart. There is. There's a real deadness in your heart. And God wants to breathe life on you. In fact, we're going to quote the Bible for a second. He wants to turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He wants to breathe life on you. He wants to renew your minds. He wants you to realize that hope is real and it's called a person in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. It's real. Will you walk today in the truth? Or will you walk today in an attitude of not now? Because God is here and He is alive. And I'm encouraging you to call out on the name of the Lord for whatever that is speaking to you. How will you respond to Him? Not to Dane, but to Him. The tugging of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize something today? Literally, we joined billions of people today praying, celebrating, and worshiping around the world. We get to join the heavenly host in worshiping Him. And He sits at the right hand of the Father and He's doing awesome. But He's thinking of us because He says, I'm interceding for you on behalf of you for my Father. So will you call on the name of the Lord? As I begin to pray for us, I would ask you to contemplate this. Brother Rick mentioned some cards and some envelopes. We're just going to spend some moments thinking about what I shared with you this morning. Okay? I want you to think, how am I going to respond to God? How am I going to begin to follow Him like never before? Maybe it's just me today. Maybe it's just me. But I'm tired of missing out. I'm tired of missing out. In fact, I decided some months ago I wasn't going to miss out anymore. I'm not going to miss out anymore. If I'm the only one, I'm not going to miss out anymore. But I'd like for all of you to join us. One of the things the Nigerian team, I know they're going to come back and say this, is they're going to say, man, those people just worship with an enthusiasm like never before. He will be alive tomorrow, won't he? And he'll be longing. His mercies will be new. But will you call out with him today? How will you respond? Let's begin to pray. Father, as you're doing things in the earth today, may we join you. May we not set up any kind of barriers. God, may we just begin to cry out, offering ourselves to you. If you've never called out to the Lord and asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, it's so simple. It's just a matter of putting your faith in Him being the Son of God. And that you have fallen short of the glory of God, as all of us have. And that there's a sin that needs to be taken care of, past, present, and future, so you can have a personal relationship and spend eternity with Him. And you can use whatever words wherever you're sitting today. And for those others that you're experiencing the deadness and you know there's more living to life, I pray for you today. I pray that you will allow God to touch the tender spots, those spots that need renewal, those spots that just need the mercies of God today to be fresh and alive. God, just speak to us now. Our altar is open. Brother Rick and Regina will be up here. Kathy and I will be up here. If you'd like to come pray with one of us, you can also go ahead and be bringing your cards and envelopes up front. You can get someone else to pray for, or pray with you, I'm sorry. This is our chance to respond to what the Holy Living God is doing today, April 21st, 2019.
His grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about we'll be right back.
Father, as we depart this place, we are the embodiment of the living Christ. You said, I will go away, but I am coming back. And I pray in the meantime that we're living in, Father, we'll experience you in every fiber of our being so others will know you are alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.